live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Halloween edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Can you believe it's already Halloween? That's right, October 31st, 2018. I've been walking around campus, and as I drove in today, looking on the sidewalk, I see there's a few people out there dressed up in costumes. You know, I was talking with one of our PAs just a moment ago, and you know, how old is too old to dress up? You know, that's a question that I have too, because I'm seeing her on my Facebook timeline. Many of my friends are dressed up at their respective places of work. We got a few here at WKAR who are dressed up and embracing the Halloween holiday. I would be dressed up. This is the first year in, you know, the last 2 years I have, but I've worn, I don't know if it counts because I've worn the same get up, I guess you can say, for the last 2 years, where I've just thrown on like an afro and been like a 70s dude. I caught myself like Afro Al last year. This year I was like, no, I'm not going to do that 3 years in a row, and I didn't get a chance to get out and get a costume. But how old is too old? Is it ever like a cutoff point to not dress up? All right, but happy Halloween to all of you out there. Jack Kerwin behind the glass. Jack, I'm curious, are you dressing up for Halloween at all? I know Connor is being the Black Panther today. I know that. But what about you?
I mean, does a Connor Cook jersey count that I'll probably wear to a party tonight?
You'll be Connor Cook. That's like you're just throwing on a jersey.
Yeah,
that's
usually my go-to, yeah. Frugal team, college student. I'm not buying new costumes. That's not how that works.
I feel you on that. Yeah. All right. Gotcha. And so MSU will be turning up tonight, I guess, for Halloween night, right?
Yeah, my buddies and I were going out, so
that's
looking
good
forward
stuff,
to
man.
It.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So is there ever a cutoff point then? There's not a cutoff point for that then, right?
I don't know. After college, I don't know. Maybe it's a thing to go to the club, like, dressed up after college. But
if it's a Halloween party.
Yeah. You know
what I mean?
So
at work.
I guess not. Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. It gets to a point where, like, honestly, as a college student, Halloween's one of the most fun times of the year.
It is.
I feel like post-college, I feel like it would just be kind of lame to go to, like, a work Halloween party. So I'm still enjoying it at this point.
Please do.
Yeah.
Coming from me, soak it up, brother, all right? But, no, I mean, you know, my days of, you know, here at Michigan State as a college student, my buddies and I think I dressed up 1 year as, like, Tiger Woods. I was a golfer. 1 year I was an old man. That was fun to do. I forget what my other costumes were, but they were just fun times being here at Michigan State. And going out, dressing up with your homies, and going out and turning up. So, happy Halloween, Michigan State. We've got a lot to get to on today's Current Sports because some news broke yesterday as Maryland held a press conference announcing what it would do concerning its, you know, then suspended football head coach DJ Durkin in light of the unfortunate passing of Jordan McNair. Well, as you know by now, the university has decided to reinstate DJ Durkin. Shocking. I did not see that coming. You could tell that the current president at Maryland does not agree with this. He really bit his tongue when he held that press conference yesterday. Wallace Lowe is who I'm referring to. And you know, there's reports also that when DJ addressed the team, starters walked out and a few others walked out. I'm going to break down that story and tell you why this is such a bad move. And I'm curious. I don't know what the atmosphere is now going to be like for Michigan State as they take on the Terrapins this weekend. That will be a noon kickoff at College Park. You know, maybe this Maryland team is going to be a bit distracted, you think, right, with everything that's going down right now on campus. I mean, you have so many students protesting this move on campus right now at Maryland. I'm sure it's going to be a fiasco at that game, and I wonder just how focused the players will be. Maybe it's a good time for the Spartans to go there now, you know, with this team being distracted. But, again, that's of lesser importance right now when discussing this story. The game plays second fiddle to this story and how the university, in my opinion, has totally mishandled this situation. All right, so I'll get to that. I'll sound off on that. And you heard a bit of our dialogue, you know, very preliminary dialogue yesterday as news broke while we were on the air around like 1:45 p.m. on the Tuesday edition of Current Sports that the Detroit Lions had decided to trade Golden Tate to the Philadelphia Eagles in favor of a third-round NFL draft pick. And, you know, you heard our thoughts. We had multiple voices on the show along with mine yesterday. And now that we've had some time now to let this story digest, I want to revisit that story because I got a few more points I want to make when it comes to this and why I'm a bit puzzled here and there. All right. And then on the back end of the show, we'll talk about last night's debut, season debut of the 2018-19 Michigan State men's basketball team as the Spartans just... It was an easy-peasy game against Northern Michigan. Again, Northern Michigan is not in even the same class as MSU, so we expected it to be a blowout. So the way you view a game like that, your lens has to shift a bit, all right? But I'll have a few takeaways from that game as far as what I saw. And now the Spartans moving forward, again, they play the number one team in the nation come next week out in Indy for the Champions Classic. We'll break down Michigan State and Northern Michigan, all right? We'll do all of that while, of course, inviting all of you out there to be a part of this Halloween edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News, where we have the Facebook live stream up and running. Comment below that video, and you can tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. And we want to start right now with Michigan State men's basketball making its season debut last night, a 7 p.m. tip time at the Breslin Center. Joining me live here in studio, we have Current Sports PA and reporter Adam Mackey. How did that one turn out last night, Adam?
It had 9 rebounds, and junior guard Cassius Winston added 13 points and 7 assists as number 10 Michigan State jumped out to a 30-point halftime lead en route to a 93-47 win over Northern Michigan in an exhibition game at the Breslin Center last night. Behind Naba Eccles, who scored 15 of his 23 points in the second half, Northern Michigan kept things closer in the second half, but never pulled within more than 40 points. Warden Winston led four Spartan players in double figures as junior guard Joshua Langford added 12 points, and freshman forward Marcus Bingham Jr. finished with 11 points. Michigan State connected on 49.2% of its field goals for the game, which was 29-59. And Michigan State opens up its regular season on Tuesday, November 6th, playing number 1 ranked Kansas in the Champions Classic at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. Tip-off is slated for 7 p.m. on ESPN.
Yeah, and you know, watching that game last night, I got a few points to make when it comes to the Spartans. Again, you know, an expected blowout win, 93 47 in favor of the Spartans. So, again, you have to change the way you view a game like that. Tom Izzo decided to go with the starting lineup of Cassius Winston, Matt McQuaid, Joshua Langford, Kenny Goins, and Nick Ward. And not bad, but I think some adjustments will happen as the year moves along, especially as they now prep, as Adam just stated, for that number one matchup against Kansas come next week at Bankers Life Fieldhouse out in Indy. Also, the college football playoff rankings, number one, was revealed last night on ESPN. And we also have live here in studio with us Trevor Tozlowski, as Trevor now breaks down what that ranking looked like. Trevor, what did we see happen last night?
All right, so last night, Alabama, Clemson, LSU, and Notre Dame were the top four teams in the initial college football playoff rankings last night. After meeting for a day and a half at a hotel outside Dallas, the 13-member selection committee released the first of its five weekly top 25s before the four-team field is set for the semifinals on December 2nd. Michigan was fifth, followed by Georgia and Oklahoma. Washington State was eighth, the highest-ranked Pac-12 team, and Kentucky was ninth.
Yeah, I also have thoughts on that ranking. Pretty much, you know, Jack, it pretty much panned out the way I expected it to. You know, Michigan being that first team out, just on the outside looking in. Did you have any qualms with what happened last night?
No, not at all. I mean, Michigan's the first team out right now, with the caveat that they'll probably be one of the four teams in next week, obviously, because LSU and Alabama have to play each other.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, somebody's going to lose in that game, right? Trevor, what are your thoughts on that ranking?
I was just, you know, if LSU beats Alabama by a field goal, do both stay in the top four? Does Alabama fall from one to five?
No.
Because assuming Clemson, Notre Dame, and LSU and Michigan all win, mm-hmm. they couldn't all move up and have Alabama fall behind all of them, I don't think.
I think they would. I think they'd fall to five.
You think they would fall to five?
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of time left again. I think, to Trevor's point, I think, you know, there'd be plenty of time for them to get back into the top four. But the week following the loss, no, I think they'd get placed at five, yeah.
Okay. All right, Adam, I know you had a point to make about that.
I think it's interesting because Michigan has a big game, too. I mean, they have Penn State coming to the Big House.
That's no guarantee.
And they're a top 15 team.
Michigan is fool's gold right now. Exactly. Everybody will see.
It's going to be a very interesting next week rankings, even though it doesn't matter as much because it's only the second of the five weeks. But with that Alabama-LSU game, it is going to be very interesting. And Notre Dame plays at Northwestern, too, this weekend.
Think
about that.
And that's not a guarantee. So, Notre Dame is going to win. I've said that Notre Dame is going to win out, but that's not going to be an easy game for them, I don't think. So I'll take this one. DJ Durkin has been reinstated. Maryland football coach DJ Durkin, who was placed on paid administrative leave in August following the June 13th death of 19-year-old offensive lineman Jordan McNair from heat stroke, of all things. He suffered that at a May 29th workout. DJ Durkin has been reinstated. The University System Board of Maryland Board of Regents announced that yesterday. Durkin met with the players with no other coaches present before a regularly scheduled practice, and sources told ESPN that several players, including starters, walked out of the meeting with Durkin. A source said, quote, "Everybody's shell-shocked within the program. Nobody's saying much. Nobody knows what to do right now." The University of Maryland's Student Government Association has organized a rally set to take place tomorrow to protest the reinstatement of Durkin and to demand justice for Jordan McNair. Jonathan Allen, Maryland's student body president, told ESPN that students are outraged by the board's decision. Allen will introduce emergency legislation at a Student Government Association meeting tonight that will call for University President Wallace Lowe to fire Durkin. More on that story later on, in just a matter of minutes, actually. Also, Ohio State football coach Urban Meyer opened up with reporters about his health issues, saying a cyst in his brain, first diagnosed in 98, causes severe headaches. Meyer detailed the severity of the arachnoid cyst, which has caused issues to flare up the past 2 years. The cyst causes frequent pain on the left side of his head. He said it was responsible for him dropping to his knees on the sideline against Indiana earlier this month. All right, the Michigan State women's volleyball team are in action tonight, Adam.
Michigan State heads back on the road, starting with a Wednesday match at number 13, Purdue. MSU heads to number 3, Minnesota on Saturday to complete the week of action. Both matches will air live on Big Ten Network. The Spartans continued its stretch of the season against top 10 teams, falling to both number 3 Minnesota and number 7 Wisconsin last weekend at Jenison Fieldhouse. MSU is in the process of playing 5 straight top 13 teams. Today's match will be the second meeting this season with Purdue, which used a 5-set upset of number 4 Penn State in State College on Saturday to vault to number 13 in this week's AVCA poll. The all-time series between the teams is tilted in favor of the Boilermakers, 53-32, which includes a 3-1 victory in earlier this season at Jenison Fieldhouse.
All right, good luck to Kathy George and company tonight on Halloween on the road. And we discussed this news on the tail end of yesterday's current sports, but if you haven't heard and you live up under a rock and you don't have any access to the internet and you're just lost from planet Earth, what happened yesterday, Trevor?
The Detroit Lions traded veteran wide receiver Golden Tate to the Philadelphia Eagles ahead of yesterday's NFL trade deadline. The Eagles announced they acquired Tate, and the Lions will receive a 3rd-round draft pick in return for 2019. Tate offered a farewell message to the Lions on Twitter after the deal became official. Quote, "It's been real, Detroit. I'll love you forever. Philly, Philly, let's get it."
Yeah, and I saw that Golden Tate actually posted a screenshot of him in a like from the Madden video game of him in already in a Philadelphia jersey, asking the fans what number should he wear when he gets to Philly. Tate, gonna miss him. Bona fide leader and incredibly consistent weapon for that Detroit Lions offense. I'll have further thoughts on that story later on this hour. Also, the Detroit Pistons were in action on the road, trying to enact a bit of revenge against the Boston Celtics, the same team that beat them over the weekend. The Pistons shot 24%, 4 of 17 in the third quarter, outscored 25-13 just after halftime, turning a 58-56 halftime lead into another deficit. They couldn't dig out of this one as the Celtics completed their home-and-home sweep of the Pistons, 108-105, the final last night at TD Garden. Blake Griffin had 24 points and 15 boards. Andre Drummond, 17 points, 12 boards for the Pistons, who fell to the Celtics by 20 on Saturday at Little Caesars Arena. And also Kyrie Irving went off last night for more than 30 points. There you go. But they weren't competitive. They had a chance to possibly tie that game in the final moments, and Blake Griffin just completely threw the ball away, inbounding it to Ish Smith, and that was the ball game. So, yeah, that hurt watching that last night. Also, to close out things on a much more positive note, how about this? The Detroit Red Wings. Trevor, what happened last night against the Blue Jackets?
Tyler Bertuzzi scored the go-ahead goal late in the period, and Jimmy Howard had 34 saves as the Detroit Red Wings beat the Columbus Blue Jackets 5-3 last night. Bertuzzi poked in a rebound off Sergei Bobrovsky's stick with 3 minutes, 24 seconds left in the game after the Blue Jackets had scored 3 goals in the period to tie the score. Dylan Larkin added an empty net goal, his 2nd of the evening, with 43 seconds left to cap the scoring and also give Detroit its 2nd straight win after losing 9 of its first 11. Also of note, 2017 ninth overall pick Michael Rasmussen scored his first NHL goal in the first period.
Jack Kerwin, Alec Rio behind the glass going crazy, I'm sure. Gotta feel good about this win. 2 straight? That's positive. Come on, Jack.
All right, stop it. That's
crack
enough.
A smile.
No,
man.
No, I want the first overall pick. No.
You just want them to tank.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, 2 straight for the Wings. Congratulations, Red Wings fans.
Yeah, whatever.
Out there.
Yeah. Whatever. Okay.
That does it.
That's
for
enough.
Your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Check out the live stream there. Comment below that video. And you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at AlMartinWKAR. Some MJ, the GOAT, Thriller. That's like the Halloween theme, right? I mean, that's my favorite Halloween song. We'll be playing some Halloween music throughout this hour. I think Jack has a nice slate of Halloween music to keep you in the mood on this Halloween 2018. Again, I want to hear from you guys. I want to know what your Halloween plans are. Are you dressing up? You know, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I know as a kid, for me, probably my favorite costume growing up was when I dressed up as the Blue Power Ranger. Never will forget that. And I can't believe Power Rangers, it still airs on television today. It's pretty crazy. I was a huge Power Ranger fan. And, of course, the candy. I can't do that anymore. I'm on, like, this health kick. For those watching right now, I'm actually drinking a protein shake. I'm on this, like, weightlifting journey. And, yeah, if I was to eat more than probably, like, three pieces of candy today, Jack, I would be sick, man. I think I would. I'm not a big candy guy.
What was your go-to candy bar back in the day?
That's a really good question. Wow, my go-to candy bar. Well, probably the Hershey's Cookies and Cream bar. Oh, yeah, that was me.
That's your top. I mean, that's not top. Bad, but that's your top.
The candy guy.
No, that's the chocolate. Top. Interesting.
The
okay.
White, the white chocolate, man. Yep. Adam threw his answer.
I think for me it was Crunch, but.
Crunch.
Yeah.
There's a candy bar just called
Crunch Bar, Al.
A Crunch Bar. I see that? I'm
good
not a big.
Lord.
The red, white, and blue wrapper, right? See, I like Paydays, too. Paydays are
okay.
good.
Okay, yep.
Snickers are good as well.
Yeah, I'm not a huge caramel guy, but all
right.
Yeah.
I like Snickers a lot. But I'm not a huge chocolate guy, though, as well. I love Skittles. Man, Skittles.
Really?
I still have some Skittles from time to time today. So
Alex, a Twix guy.
Trevor says Wildberry Skittles. So, yeah, love it. That's good stuff, guys. We got Trevor and Adam also in studio. I want you guys to give a favorite Halloween memory. And what is your favorite candy? Adam?
I'll start off with a Halloween memory because this is crazy. I've worn glasses since I was 4 years old, so...
You sound like me.
Exactly.
I'm like Stevie Wonder without my contact lenses, dude, so I feel you.
Exactly. I mean, I have contacts now, but back in the day, I wore glasses, and obviously, I looked like Harry Potter as a kid. So, I was told a million times I look like Harry Potter, but in kindergarten, I dressed up as Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Okay.
And people came up, like, when I came up to the door, people would be like, oh, it's Harry Potter, even though I had this big red dog suit on.
They would just ignore the Clifford suit and say, oh, man, you look a lot like Harry Potter.
Exactly.
It's Harry Potter.
So that's my crazy story. But my favorite candy, I'm a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup kind of guy.
Oh, those are good,
too. My dad is just a big fan of them, and I've had them ever since. And every year, that's the only candy we give out at home.
That's a good choice.
So
that's a really good choice. Trevor, what about you? Favorite Halloween memory and favorite candy?
I mean, candy, Reese's is up there. I think chocolate and peanut butter is one of the best combinations. I like Three Musketeers as well.
Ah, those are good too.
And Twix.
It's like the nougat, right?
Yeah,
the nougat center.
Almost like the whipped chocolate, whatever's in the middle. It's just, there's
right.
nothing like it. It's so good.
Okay.
My favorite Halloween memory was probably like a year where I didn't have a costume. Like I didn't decide what I wanted to be.
Okay.
So my mom took like duct tape and just like wrapped an old hockey jersey I had and wrapped it in duct tape, wrapped a hat that I had in duct tape. I want a duct tape man.
What?
I kid you
not. You just made up.
I made up
a costume.
Yeah.
Duct tape man.
I was not going to miss out on the candy, and I was not going to allow the fact that I didn't have a costume to keep me from getting.
That's pretty funny.
I don't hate that. Goodness. Yeah, I don't hate that.
Duct tape man.
I swear,
it's just the idea.
I don't know if there's any pictures of it, but I'll tweet it at the show if I can find
that. Tweet that at the show. We definitely have to retweet that one. But duct tape man.
Well, it's just the idea that you know. I kind of like the idea of the homemade costume, and you're not going to miss out on the candy as a kid.
No.
So, you know, I don't hate that.
I dig that. You know, and there's so many different costumes that you can just put together and throw together that are real simple. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of Jim Harbaugh kids walking around out in Ann Arbor. I'm sure all you need is a hat and some khakis, really, and just kind of act weird, act crazy. You know what I mean? And just go door to door and get candy.
What's the whole gig with the Harbaugh khakis?
Oh, it's a fad,
every
man.
Coach wears khakis.
Right. Well,
every coach wears khakis.
This is look, you know, and the tucked in shirt. It's just that's so
the Jordan
Harbaugh,
brand
man.
Khakis too. They're specifically Jordan brand.
Those
khakis.
Are Jordan brand khakis.
Yeah,
I need to get some of those.
But every coach wears khakis. Fun. That's my whole thing. Like maybe not every game, but every coach at some point wears khakis.
But not with the hat and the shirt tucked in.
Yep.
It's different. It's just a different look with Jim Harbaugh.
All right.
Man.
So, you know, like those little, like the leashes that you put on the back of your kids?
Yeah.
You need to get one of those
right?
Dress him up as Harbaugh and then change the leash into the cord and have the parrot be his cord guy.
I like
you
that.
Know he's got, he doesn't trust
that's
the wireless
a great point.
Thing because
that's
he had it mess
great.
Up one time.
That's a good idea.
That's
look
the
at you, man.
Costume.
Even though you were duct tape, man, that's a really good idea there, Trevor. All right.
Why hasn't Harbaugh adapted to the wireless headset?
I don't know, man.
I heard that there was a situation where during one game, the wireless headset stopped working. And
really?
He couldn't get it to
oh,
work.
Oh, there was. That was
and
a story. I think that was last year.
And now
was last
he doesn't
year.
Trust it, and he right. only does wired. And so he's got his cord guy and his get
that
guy.
I get that.
I don't like Michigan, but if Jim Harbaugh is looking for a new get back guy or a new cord
yeah,
guy,
I'm down. Yeah,
graduating, I will be available.
I'm sure it pays good money. All right. Well, that's great stuff, fellas. Thank you for – oh, Alec Rio, too. We got Alec behind the glass real quick before I go on this. I'm about to really – I'm just warning you guys. I'm really going to change the mood here in just a moment. All right? So I just want to start on a happy note here. Favorite Halloween memory, Alec Rio, and favorite candy.
My favorite candy, as Jack mentioned, is Twix.
Twix are amazing.
Is so good.
Twix are amazing.
And my favorite memory, I was in like third or fourth grade, and my favorite anime cartoon at the time was Naruto.
I used to
watch that
genius, yep.
all the time. I watched that so much. And my mom actually put together this really cool costume that was like exactly like one of my favorite characters. I'll have to show you guys a picture because it's like it's spot on.
Please
like,
tweet it to us.
That'd I will.
Awesome.
I will tweet it.
We'll retweet that. And also, you know, listeners out there, if you have a great costume or a great throwback pic of, you know, you in some kind of get up back in the day, please tweet it at us at WKAR. _sports. I love to see that. That's,
yeah.
And I was a big fan of Naruto as well.
I love that show so much.
Great stuff. All right. Take a beat for a second. All right. And now I want to dive into this story because it was incredibly shocking what happened yesterday afternoon at Maryland. And as you all know, Michigan State football will play Maryland this Saturday in College Park. That will be a noon kickoff, but the game is playing second fiddle to DJ Durkin now being reinstated as the head football coach at Maryland. DJ Durkin is back. And, you know, we sat here live on the air yesterday, and you know, I did not see when the story broke. We had Justin Fromer on the show and Justin passed news along that Maryland will be having this breaking press conference that will be aired by the Big Ten Network, and we both agreed here on the air, I don't know how in the world this university could reinstate a man who was in charge and who was totally irresponsible when it comes to handling a heat stroke moment for Jordan McNair. This is a death that easily could have been preventable. And as head coach, and then you start to see these reports come out of a possible toxic culture at Maryland, led by DJ Durkin. I don't know how you can look at Jordan McNair's death and you read the report of what was done when Jordan McNair let the staff know that he was having some kind of complications. I don't know how in the world the head coach of that program gets his job back. But after doing further reading this morning, I understand it now, and it is totally wrong. First off, let's take you through the timeline. Yesterday, again, a press conference was held. You saw, for those who watched the press conference, and you could tell, you know, Wallace Lowe, who is the current president at the University of Maryland, he was certainly holding back a lot of emotion. Also, Wallace Lowe has said after this academic year, he's chucking up the deuces, and he is done. He will no longer be the president at Maryland, because he doesn't agree with this. Again, read between the lines, and you watch his body language and watch how he refers, listen to how he refers to DJ Durkin. You know, he called him the football coach. He didn't agree with this move, so much so that, again, he has decided that this will be his final year as the president at Maryland. So this press conference happens, announcing that DJ Durkin will be back, and Durkin met with his team. He decided to hold a team meeting with his players for the first time since being put on paid, of course, administrative leave back in August. some of the players said they just really had they didn't want to hear what DJ had to say. They had no interest in whatever words came out of the mouth of DJ Durkin at that time. Here's how the meeting was actually reported by The Athletic's Nicole Auerbach. Quote, Durkin was smiling, said a parent of a Maryland player who described the meeting. One player asked a rhetorical question to Durkin. What was the program's number one core value? The player answered it himself, telling his head coach the correct answer was honesty. Then that player and two others walked out of the meeting, according to this parent. Again, ESPN, as we just brought to you, courtesy of our headliners, ESPN reported that several players, including starters on this football team, walked out of the meeting when DJ tried to talk to him. And then you saw these tweets come out from different players voicing how displeased they were with this move and the decision to, again, you know, to retain Durkin, Athletic Director Damon Evans, and University President Wallace Lowe, who, again, will be stepping down after this academic year. Ellis McKinney, player on this squad, tweeted, "Every Saturday, my teammates and I have to kneel before the memorial of our fallen teammate. Yet a group of people do not have the courage to hold anyone accountable for his death. If only they could have the courage that Jordan had. It is never the wrong time to do what is right." Again, Ellis McKinney. Now, Trey Watson. Bruh, you know I'm right here for you. He retweeted what Ellis McKinney had to say and says, "Bruh, you know I'm right here for you. Accountability is something people apparently struggle too much with, and yet it doesn't hurt them. But it comes right to us and led to the position that we are in today." Juice McLean, "My brother Jordan can no longer speak his mind. He must live and speak through us." Michael Cornwell, "Justice will come, Mr. Marty, in one form or another." And Mr. Marty is the father of Jordan McNair, who said after this was announced that DJ Durkin would be returning as head football coach, quote, "I feel like I've been punched in the stomach and somebody spit in my face." That's who you really have to feel for here, because, again, if you I could never know what kind of pain and anguish goes through the emotion of a parent in Marty McNair, who trusted the Maryland football program, who trusted DJ Durkin, trusted them to take care of their son while on scholarship with the Maryland football program. And something as preventable as heat stroke is how Jordan McNair died. Something as preventable as that happens that leads to your son dying. Do you know what kind of grief and anguish that is? There's parents out there that have lost a child and know what that feels like. And I can't imagine what it feels like. That's who first we should really feel for here. Second, the University of Maryland. What are you thinking here? You know, Lowe, and again, to really, you know, elaborate on Wallace Lowe here, because I think he said the right things when Maryland had that initial press conference and announced that they would be putting DJ Durkin on administrative leave. I mean, Wallace came through with nothing scripted. You know, of course, he had in his mind what he wanted to say. He came through as very candid, very organic, very sympathetic. He had met with Jordan McNair's family prior to going in front of the cameras. He handled that. Again, you know, Luana K. Simon should have took notes on that. That's how you handle a crisis at your university. And again, when it comes to yesterday's presser, it was clear that Wallace Lowe did not agree with this. Actually, it was reported that Lowe wanted to fire Durkin but believed, and again, this brings me back to my initial point here, after doing some further digging and further reading, this is why DJ Durkin really got reinstated. Lowe wanted to fire Durkin, but the university system, as we brought to you in our headliners, the University System of Maryland Board of Regents would fire Lowe if that happened. Right now, if you look at the figures here for the University of Maryland football program, I mean, this is a program that has been operating in the red for a long time. And right now, they're just starting to break even and slowly climb itself out of this financial hole. If the university was to fire DJ Durkin, looking into that contract, Durkin is in the third year of a six-year contract that pays him about $2.5 million per year. If he were to be bought out, it would cost the school $5 million. If he were to be fired without cause, it would cost 65% of that remaining salary, or again, about $5 million. If he were to be fired with cause, there would likely be an expensive legal battle that Maryland just does not have the money to foot right now. That's what this was about. Maryland football is not very lucrative. Just look at the stands when you watch a Maryland football game. I mean, no one goes to watch the Maryland football program play football. And again, they have been for years running off a deficit, folks. They don't have the money to buy out the head coach. They can't take that hit. So if Lowe decided to fire Durkin, they basically said, and again, going off a few reports here out there that have been floating around, Lowe probably wouldn't have a job. So Lowe decided, you know, all right, after this year, after this academic year, I'm out. I can't do this. My moral integrity won't allow me to stay at this university and do my job the correct way if you reinstate a head coach who acted negligently, leading to a death that was easily preventable. A 19-year-old young man who had the world ahead of him. I'm out of here. I'm not going to do this. About moolah, folks. That's what this, read between the lines. That's what this was really about. So, now a football game will take place against the Michigan State Spartans on Saturday at noon at College Park. And, you know, looking at this whole situation, I don't know as a player, who knows? We may even see some players protest. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some starters say, I'm not lining up to play for DJ Durkin. You know, Michigan State, you know, just walked into a lot of mess here. And again, it may play in their favor now because I don't know how this Maryland football team is going to be focused. But again, that is second. That conversation is totally second. We'll break down the X's and the O's of Maryland and Michigan State later on this week. But the University of Maryland, totally wrong for this. Your integrity just went totally out the window. So, thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below that video. A few comments are coming in. I'll read those on the other side of this break. You can tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Again, we'll read some of your comments, take a few of your calls. I also want to elaborate on and make a few more points when it comes to the whole Golden Tate trade to the Philadelphia Eagles. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the Monster Mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the Monster Mash.
built from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash. It
was a graveyard. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I just had to get it off my chest before that first break there, as Maryland has decided to reinstate DJ Durkin as the head football coach for the Terrapins. I'm assuming, again, effective immediately, Jackson. We'll see DJ Durkin on the sidelines this weekend, I guess, right?
Yeah, you'd have to think, yeah.
And you look at the success that Maryland has had. Again, I just don't get it. Matt Canada doing one heck of a job this season. You know, in light of this terrible, terrible story, they're one win away from becoming bowl eligible. So somebody's going to become bowl eligible in this game because Michigan State has 5 wins. Maryland has 5 wins. Matt Canada doing an outstanding job. Javon Leakey, he had a great game last week against Illinois. I mean, I really thought with the job that Matt Canada has been doing, why make this move? So just final brief thoughts on this story. Jack, you got anything?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from the perspective of, you know, a Maryland player or even a parent, I don't understand how you could ever send your kid to play for a man like DJ Durkin after an incident like this. And, I mean, as far as to why he was reinstated, I can understand it just from the standpoint of, you know, the boosters have all the power in this situation.
They
do. And he's been successful the last couple of years. And so with that being said, you know, Wallace Lowe doesn't have a ton of power in a situation like this. You know, neither really did Michael Drake, Ohio State's president, when Urban Meyer was on paid administrative leave. With that being said, I respect the hell out of Wallace Lowe saying he's walking away after this year as well. Because that, I mean, that's really just the nature of college football. You know, the president doesn't really run the football team. It's the boosters. You lose the boosters, then, you know, your time as a president, you know, your days are numbered. But, you
which
know,
is so unfortunate, right? Just corrupt. So dang.
Yeah, I mean, money
oh,
talks, you know.
Money talks, man.
Money talks.
And again, that's how it goes in multiple facets of the world that we live in, the climate
sure.
that we live in here in 2018. It really is unfortunate. But yeah, again, respect to Wallace Lowe because he is putting his moral integrity first here. And is chucking up the deuces and saying, I can't do this. I'm out.
Yeah, absolutely. And then from the standpoint of current players, I would be... I tweeted it yesterday. I think any player looking to move on from Maryland, the NCAA should grant them an immediate waiver, just like
for
Ole
sure.
Miss players were granted last year. They
yep.
shouldn't have to sit out a year, and they sure as hell shouldn't have to stay at Maryland.
I agree. Totally agree. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR. Ben says on our Facebook page, respect to Wallace Lowe. I agree with your rant, Al. Steven says, hey, Al, I'm leaving for Maryland tomorrow for MSU in Maryland on Saturday. Go Green, have a great show. You know, Steven, please report back to us on Monday to let us know what that climate is like while you're at that game. Do you think this will, like, boost attendance at this game this Saturday? You know, will people just show up to protest? Like, all right, I'm going to buy a ticket just so I can just protest in the stands. I don't know.
No, probably not. I think
outside,
you'll see.
Outside, for sure.
Yeah, outside. But, I mean, again, it's why would you pay to protest something like this? Protest
yep.
during the game? I don't think most people are going to put their money, invest their money into doing that. No, I don't see that. I agree. I think, you know, the protest that'll take place tomorrow for Maryland students, and then outside for sure as well, you'll see probably a large contingency of students and maybe even fans. But no, inside the stadium, no, I don't think people would buy tickets to protest.
All right, let's get to Golden Tate, shall we? As we close up on 15 minutes left here in the hour, you know, we reacted to that breaking news right before we bid you all adieu on the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. The news broke around like 1:40, and, you know, we had some reaction to it. And, you know, we've had some time now to process it, of course. And, you know, this is interesting on a lot of different areas. I am not a fan of this move. And I'll tell you why. First off, with this move, I think the Lions are giving up on the season. I do believe that. The Lions right now... 3-4. You look at the division right now. You know, they're 1-0 in the NFC North. Trail the division leading Chicago Bears, who sit at 4-3 by just one game with more than half the season left. You know, the question I have now, you know, who's going to make up for Tate's high production? Now, yeah, you got, you know, Kenny Golladay, you got Marvin Jones Jr. You have Kerryon Johnson, who's, if you run the ball, if you give him the football, he can do some special things. But Tate's production, it was just so consistent. I mean, this is a guy who was among the league leaders, led the league when it comes to yards after catch, highly productive. And really, other than the season opening 48-17 blowout loss to the New York Jets, you know, the Lions lost on the road, shouldn't have lost this game to the San Francisco 49ers, and then they had a chance against the Dallas Cowboys. You look at those two losses, that's by a combined 5 points, Seahawks loss aside, all right? For me, when you look at what they traded Tate for, you know, a third-round draft pick. I'm not high on, like I stated on yesterday's Current Sports, I am not high on trading for a third-round pick, trading a guy who was as productive as Golden Tate was. And I just want to put, because I've been pondering this a lot, and I've gotten this question, you know, we had a whole debate after Current Sports with the rest of the WKAR staff after we signed off on yesterday's show. And you know, you look at draft picks. I just want to put some things in perspective when it comes to NFL draft picks, okay? Because looking at some research that Pro Football Reference put together, they put together a metric actually called draft value, which attempts to rate the draft value of players at different positions to arrive at a measure of how well teams have drafted. Now, this ranges from 0 to 160, with only 1% scoring in 80 or higher. I just like to play the numbers game sometimes here on Current Sports. I don't do it often, but when it comes to this conversation, I was just curious just how successful NFL draft picks are when it comes to players who have a lot of potential coming out of college and how long their careers last once they make the National Football League and so on and so forth. So based on this metric, here is how all draft picks over the past 20 years have fared overall. 16.7% didn't play for the team that drafted them. Most of these are draft picks that, you know, didn't make the team. However, there were a few draft picks that were immediately traded that were of great value, such as, you know, i.e. Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, for example. But generally, these were far and, again, well, few and far between, I should say. 37% were considered useless, also known as bust. These are players that had a draft metric between 0 to 4, rarely or never saw the field. Guys like Ryan Leaf, Ryan Mallett, you know, Vikings 99 first-round pick, Demetrius Underwood, to name a few. 15.3% were considered poor. Still, it's kind of like in that bust territory here, according to this metric. There are players, these are players that had an underwhelming career with a draft metric between 5 and 10. 10.5% were considered average. 12.3% were considered, quote unquote, good. Just 6.9% were considered great. These were picks that started for many years. Also have, you know, an above average when it comes to this metric. These players score between 36 and 80 on this draft metric scale. Includes players like Chad Greenway, Bryant McKinney, Matt Burke, E.J. Henderson, John Sullivan, those kind of players. 1% were in the category of legendary, like a Tom Brady, a Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher, Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison. So when you look at the numbers here, only 12.3% are considered good. When you look at, again, the last 20 years, looking at this metric here, 12.3% good, 6.9% great, 1% legendary. And that's what the Lions are banking on here with this third round pick. I don't know if I'm buying that, folks. I don't know. I get this whole thing, too. There was no guarantee that Golden Tate was going to come back with this team. You know, Tate, 44 catches, 517 yards, 3 touchdowns. These are all team highs, folks. Final year of his deal, which decreases his trade value, he told the Detroit Free Press, I kept hearing this thrown around, well, you know, Golden Tate was going to leave right after this year. I read three articles this morning in the offseason that slated toward a possible Golden Tate contract. Now, I'm not saying that this would have happened. I'm just saying everybody's saying it was set in stone that Golden Tate was going to lead the Detroit Lions. That's not true. It's just not true. We're speculating here. We're speculating, folks. He told the Detroit Free Press that the two sides had moved closer to an extension since the start of the season, and he remained optimistic about reaching a long-term contract. Again, I'm not saying this would have happened, but for those saying it was set in stone that Golden Tate was no longer going to be a Detroit Lion, just not true, folks. Quote, I expect to be here, and I want to be here. Direct quote from Golden Tate in the offseason. And this is one of those moves, too. You know, I wanted to hear from the player perspective how players on this roster were looking at this move, Golden Tate leaving. Because Golden Tate is a captain on this team, was a captain on this team. Incredibly productive. Very vocal offensively. What kind of ripple effect does this now have in the locker room of the Detroit Lions? Because looking at a few tweets that were put out by some players, they weren't happy. Weren't happy. And when they were asked about it, of course, they chalked it up into to the business that is the NFL. So I say all of that to say this. Bob Quinn, Matt Patricia, if this third-round pick does not pan out and you're banking, according to the numbers here, you are banking on a 12.3% chance of that pick being at least good, you better hope it is. Or this is a pick that will be scrutinized for years and years to come. 5 minutes left. Ray, line one. Ray from Indiana. Ray, what's up?
Well, the Lions have always been like this for 50 years. Okay, what else is new? Hey, why don't you put down the percentage on free agents like Kurt Warner that made the Pro Football Hall of Fame? There's two or three other guys that were free agents that made the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's a joke on their drafting part. But I just don't understand where the Lions are coming from in this.
For a third-round pick, this is the thing. If they could have gotten somebody, and it's so, you know, typical Lions, right? I mean, you look at the move to acquire Snacks Harrison. Everybody's so high on that move, right? Oh, it was a great move. Great move. And now, you know, you look at this move, and most Lions fans are upset with this draft pick, with this trade, I should say, for Golden Tate. I'm not a big fan of it. So it just shows you how things can just change from week to week when it comes to the Lions, not just in the win and loss column. But if they could have gotten somebody who could come right in right away and make an impact with this team, I would have been happy with that. And if you couldn't find somebody that could do that, don't trade Golden Tate then and there. I just thought it was premature. I thought it was way too premature, Ray.
Al, I wanted to tell you about something else. I know we're running out of time here.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Maryland situation, the Penn State, the Michigan State, the Ohio State deal. I'm going to tell you something. When I got fired 15, 16 years ago, the police are getting their paycheck from the institution. We need to take away the police department from the institution so when these guys get their paycheck, they're going to have a fair compromise on did they do something at fault. The institutions, I think this happens all over the United States. The police departments are getting paid by the institution, and they're not going to have they're going to worry about their paycheck and getting for their family.
Okay. And can we double check on that, guys? Like, does Michigan State Police, do they get paid by Michigan State University?
Of Michigan does.
Okay.
Well, I would imagine so, just because it's a public university, so all the money filters from the same place. It filters from the state.
In their own campus, right?
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that, you know, I looked at when it comes to the whole Larry Nash situation, not to go in a whole rant about that, but, you know, you had these reports coming out about, you know, the ESPN investigation, the ESPN investigation by Paula Levine. You know, she had these you know, these young women on the show that were saying, yeah, the police department discouraged me from coming forth and warned me that if I did come forth, You know, there would be repercussions, and do you know who you're messing with, basically? So,
are you asking me, does the money from MSU PD come out of MSU's budget?
Yeah.
Okay, I can, because, I mean,
I think we should double check.
Yeah, MSU's a public university, and police departments are obviously public as well, so, I mean, the money comes from the state either way, but yeah, I can look at that, yeah.
Right, let's do some research on that. But I hear you. I mean, what's happening right now in the Big Ten, Trevor and Adam, we've been talking about this, you know, you got a situation at Rutgers, and I didn't even bring this up, but you got a player at Rutgers who was charged on Tuesday of two accounts of attempted murder. And let's not forget also that this, you know, Rutgers, you know, had eight football players who were charged over the summer in a credit card fraud scheme. The Larry Nash situation happening here at Michigan State. The Ohio State drama when it comes to that assistant coach possibly in a domestic violence situation with his wife. It's like there's so much bad news going around the Big Ten right now. It's pretty crazy, Ray. But, Ray, we got to go, man. Please call tomorrow, my man.
All right, buddy. God bless you.
All right. Happy Halloween to you. And happy Halloween to all of our listeners out there. Have a safe one. Don't eat too much candy. All right. And, man, we didn't even get a chance to talk about MSU men's basketball. I promise you we'll do that tomorrow, and we'll start to dive into the X's and the O's of the Maryland and Michigan State football game. But I got a few points I want to make when it comes to MSU men's basketball and what I saw last night. So tune in to the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, the first Current Sports show of the month of November. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.